George Shuler was a faculty member of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, Illinois. He was also playing the organ one day during a service at the famous Moody Church. Sometime during the service, the speaker prayed aloud, "O Lord, overshadow us." This thought struck deep into the heart of young Shuler, and after the service, he went to his studio and wrote the words and the music to what is now the refrain or the chorus of a very popular song. He knew that he needed some verses to accompany this chorus that he had written, so he contacted the pastor, Dr. Harry Ironside, and he asked that the pastor write some verses for this chorus that he had written. Dr. Ironside postponed the project for about 2 years, and finally, in desperation, young Shuler went to the pastor's secretary and said, "Would you prompt him to write the verses for me?" And she did, over and over again. And finally, in desperation, Dr. Ironside sat down one day and he wrote some verses for the chorus that young Shuler had written, handed them to the secretary and said, "Now stop pestering me." Well, young Shuler took them and proceeded to publish it, and it winged its way around the world and has been a very favorite of many, many people everywhere.
How desolate my life would be, how dark and drear my nights and days, if Jesus' face I did not see, to brighten all us weary ways. I'm overshadowed by His mighty love, love eternal, changeless, pure, overshadowed by His mighty love. The rest is mine, serene, secure. He died to ransom me from sin. He lives to keep me day by day. I'm overshadowed by His mighty love, the love that brightens all my
Terry, and that's the story and the song. One of Mosey Lister's most famous songs was written because someone asked him to write a song for Mahalia Jackson. He did so, and the only thing that happened was that she refused to record it. She was very popular at that time. She had recorded "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." But Mosey Lister did not give up. Others recorded the song, and it has blessed the lives of millions of people. But here's another story connected with that. Some time ago, some Baptist missionaries were camping on a tiny island off the coast of New Guinea. They had gone there for a day of relaxation on an outing. The island was named Mbil Mbil. It was about 3 miles in circumference. And while going through the day's recreation activities, the supply of drinking water was exhausted. And suddenly the group realized that if they were going to save themselves from thirst, they'd have to go to the mainland and replenish their supply. Several people volunteered to take the boat and go to the island of New Guinea and get some water. The stretch of water between them and their destination was made without incident at all. But the return trip was quite different. They had no longer filled their containers and boarded the boat when they noticed dark, foreboding clouds, and they pushed the throttle to full speed ahead and made toward the island. The storm seemed to fall on them like a giant monster. The sky grew black, darker and darker. The wind was strong, and the waves began to beat against the side of the little boat. The only thing that they could do, because they feared for their lives, was to turn the bow of the boat into the wind and just try to keep the engine running. Someone in the boat said, "Why don't we just praise the Lord?" And they began to sing. report later was that God's presence just seemed to fill the boat. Someone from the boat said, we knew that he was there. Our hearts were cheered. All of a sudden, we saw a flickering light on the island. It seemed that those who were left on the beach had guessed what the problem was, and they came out with a strong light, and eventually we made our way into the port and the safety. And the song that Mosey Lister wrote and the song they sang that day on the boat was this one.
In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place. Amid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story and the song. On a holiday known as Whit Monday, this is 7 weeks after Easter, the children of Sabine Baringuil's Sunday School were invited to join celebrations in a neighboring town. It was the town of Yorkshire, England. Mr. Baringuil thought that the children should have a song to sing as they marched along, carrying their crosses and banners on their way to Yorkshire. But he just couldn't find an appropriate song. He sat up most of the night before the holiday writing verses. By morning, he had completed a song. He taught it to the children the next day, and he used as the melody a theme from Haydn's Symphony in D. And as they marched along, the children sang the song. This song, like many others, has gone much further than the writer ever dreamed. But no longer is Haydn's theme used, but a wonderful composition by Sir Arthur Sullivan. Many of the great songwriters of the past have been men of renowned literary ability. So was Sabine Baringuil. He wrote and published 85 books on many subjects. He fell in love with a young lady in his congregation named Grace Taylor. She was the daughter of a poor mill hand. With the consent of her parents, he sent her away to school to be educated. Upon her return, they were united in marriage in a most impressive ceremony, with Baringuil himself pronouncing the vows. They became the parents of 15 children, and when she died, 8 years before his death, he had engraved on her tombstone, "Half My Soul." And the song that he wrote that day for the children is this.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story and the song. As we go along from day to day, we meet many people who can do at least one thing well, but few and scattered are those versatile individuals who can do many things masterfully. One such person was Daniel A. DeMarbelle, later known as Dion DeMarbelle. He was born in France on July the 4th in 1818. He joined himself to a whaling ship and roamed the Arctic Ocean for several of his early years. In 1847, he joined the American Navy and fought in the Mexican War. The next years, though, were probably more exciting because that was when he really embarked upon his versatile career. Immediately after the Mexican War, he toured the country with an opera company as an actor and singer. And when Mr. Bailey of Barnum and Bailey fame first organized his circus, DeMarbelle was one of the first performers. He later organized his own show, but was forced to close it down when fire destroyed his tents in Canada. And after this, he helped Buffalo Bill establish his Wild West show. It's been reported that he could speak on any subject extemporaneously, displaying an unusual amount of eloquence and oratory. To add to this, he was a sleight-of-hand artist, a poet, a composer of popular ballads. He sang in a Methodist church choir. But like many men who achieved fame and fortune, he wasn't satisfied with his contribution to mankind. He wanted to do something lasting. And so Dion DeMarbelle wrote a song. His last years were spent in utter poverty, and only the generosity of his neighbors kept him alive. And because he served in the Federal Army in the Civil War as a musician, he was buried in Soldiers Reserve at Bluff City Cemetery near Elgin, Illinois. The marker at his grave reads just simply, Drum Major D.A. DeMarbelle, 6th Michigan Infantry. And so ended the colorful career of a man who left us this marvelous song.
There's a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever, and we only reach that shore by fate's decree. One by one we'll gain the portals there to dwell with thee. When they ring the golden bells for you and me, don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the glory, hallelujah, jubilee. In that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring those golden bells for you and
I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story and the song. Halldor Lillenäs made his way from a Scandinavian country to the United States more than 50 years ago. His first years in this country were hard. A kind woman befriended him and taught him to speak English. She also told him the story of Christ and led him to know the Savior. Many times afterwards, she sang with him a song written by G.A. Young. He loved the song and sang it very often. One day, some time later, when Halldor Lillenäs had become a music publisher, he was sitting in his office. And one Saturday morning, he got to thinking about the song. He thought, I'd like to know something about the man who wrote the song, God Leads His Dear Children Along. This had been the song that was so wonderful to him in earlier years. Through letter writing, he had found that Mr. G.A. Young had died and that his widow, Mrs. Young, lived in a nearby town. He got into his car, drove to this town, and had an address on a slip of paper. He pulled up to a service station and asked directions. He said, also to the young man who was at the service station, "Just fill up my car." Well, the young man did so, but as he looked at the address, he frowned. And he said, "Mister, are you sure you want to go there? That's the poor farm." And Halder Littleness thought, "How can I go to talk with someone about the song, 'God leads his dear children along,' when it seems to have led her to the poor house?" But he got into his car after he paid the young man, went out to the poor farm, and asked for Mrs. Young. They took him back to a room, to Mrs. Young's room. And when she found out who was there, she said, "Oh, Dr. Littleness, I'm glad that you've come." He chatted with her for a while and found a marvelous, marvelous lady. She said, "You know, my husband wrote that song, and I'm glad that he did. But he passed away some time ago, and God has led me to this place. And it's been such a wonderful place for me to come, because there are many people here who need help. And I've been able to lead many of them to Christ. And I'm just thankful that God has led me here." And so Halder Littleness left, went back to his office with a song in his heart. And I'd like to sing for you today, right now, this song that meant so much to him and that meant so much to Mr. and Mrs. G.A. Young.
In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. Night seasons and all the day long.
I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story and the song. Ira B. Wilson once startled his friends by saying, "I don't remember writing the lyrics to that song." He said that until his death, yet his song lives on in the hearts of Christians everywhere. George Schuller and Ira Wilson were roommates at Moody Bible Institute in 1924, and they combined their talents and gave the world a beautiful song of consecration. Wilson wrote the lyrics and Schuller the musical setting. It was at first rejected by musical publishers, and so Mr. Schuller had 1,000 copies printed to distribute himself, and one fell into the hands of George Dibble, an outstanding singer, who was at that time the music director for the Interdenominational Sunday School Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. Mr. Dibble asked for permission to use it, and they granted it, and soon people everywhere were singing it. Publishers were wanting to distribute it. Its popularity grew until it was just marvelous and magnificent. Between the time Ira Wilson wrote the lyrics and the time the song began to be so well known, Mr. Wilson forgot that he was the author. And, as I said, until he died, he never remembered that he had written the famous lyrics of this song.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing out of my life. Make me I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story and the song. While preaching on the subject of the rapture, the glorious hope of the Christians, on the radio one day, Reverend C.A. Blackmore was outlining some of the wonderful things that would happen to Christians. He declared that deformities and pains would vanish as they leave this old body of clay and instantaneously take on a glorified spiritual body. A lady who had been bedridden for 23 years heard this message. To her, it seemed too good to be true. And she wrote to Mr. Blackmore and said, "Will I really be well? Will all the pain and sorrow actually be gone?" And Mr. Blackmore wrote her back and said, "Yes, some glorious day when Jesus comes, you will leap from that bed with all the vigor of a youth and never know pain again. Little cripples will be made perfect. No more crying, no more heartaches. All will be peace." His son Carl, who had already become widely known for his musical achievements, was greatly impressed with the reality of this event as he heard his dad talk about it. He pondered this glorious prospect, and the words and the melody of a chorus took form in his mind. Simultaneously, a melody for some verses were inspired, and the verses did not come, though, and so he asked his dad. He said, "Dad, you should write some verses to this chorus." And they agreed to do so, but they first prayed and asked the Lord that he would guide them in the writing of the verses of this song. The song became known, and many, many people everywhere now are able to sing this marvelous gospel song, and it's called "Some Golden Daybreak."
Some glorious morning sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, labor all done. Heaven will open, Jesus will come. Some golden day break, Jesus will
Terry, and that's the story and the song. James M. Black was a Sunday school teacher and the president of the Young People's Society in a church in Canada. He was quite young himself, and one day he met a young girl. She was only 14 years of age, and she was poorly clothed and the child of a drunkard. It was evident that she did not enjoy the nicer things of life that many teenagers enjoyed. And so young Mr. Black was moved to invite her to attend his Sunday school and to join the Young People's Society. He thought that this would be a great blessing to her and would help her. And he might even win her to Christ. One evening, at one of the consecration meetings, when each member answered the roll call by repeating a scripture text, he noticed that she failed to respond. And he thought, well, maybe she's very sad. Maybe she doesn't know Christ. He just didn't know what to think. But he thought in his own mind, you know, when God calls my name from the Lamb's Book of Life, I certainly hope that I'm not absent. I hope I'll be able to answer. This thought is not very scriptural, perhaps, but it's something that moved him to want to write a song. As he closed the meeting, he searched for a song to sing on the subject that they were discussing, the subject of heaven. He just could not find a suitable song. And so on the way home, the thought came to him, why don't you write a song?
But he had never written a song, and so he just didn't know what to do. When he reached his house, his wife saw that he was deeply troubled and questioned him about his problem. He didn't even reply. He just kept thinking about writing the song. But later on, he began to write, and he said it was like a day spring. The first verse came, and then another, and then another. And in 15 minutes, he had composed other verses. And today we have the wonderful and marvelous song that I'm going to sing right now.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story and the song. A young businessman stood one evening in a revival meeting in Dallas, Texas, and gave his testimony concerning God's blessing in his life. In the audience was a famous songwriter, Ira Stanfield. The evangelist was Gene Martin. The year was 1945. The young businessman told this story. He said, "I had a marvelous business. Everything was going well. I was happy. But then, all of a sudden, one day I noticed that my business was beginning to fall off a little bit, and it slackened off more and more. I didn't know what the problem was. I didn't know how to correct it, but the business kept going down. I became so problemed, so perplexed, so depressed over it. One day I got into my car, and I rode out into the country. I turned off onto a little dirt road, pulled the car over, stopped the car, began to walk up this dirt road. Pretty soon, I saw a little trail. I went up the trail. Suddenly, I came on a little house. It was just a shack. It was leaning. Some of the windows were out. But out front was a little girl. She was playing with a doll, and she seemed to be so happy. And I walked nearby, and I said to the little girl, 'Would you come over and talk to me?' And she said, 'No.' I guess her mom had taught her that. But I asked her, 'Why are you so happy? Is that the house where you live?' 'Yes, sir.' 'Well, the windows are broken out, and that doll you have, some of the stuffing is coming out. How can you be so happy with your doll broken and living in a house like that?' And she said to the man, 'Well, mister, you see, my daddy some time ago came into some money, and he's building us a wonderful new house just over that hilltop.' And this struck deep into his heart, and he thought, 'You know, the Savior, even though things are not well right now for us, is preparing something much greater for us.'" And as Ira Stanfield sat there listening to this story, he thought, what a marvelous, marvelous title for a song. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. He went home that night. He went to sleep. Early the next morning, he awoken, and this story was still in his mind. And he went to the piano. He sat down, and his hands fell on the keys. And he wrote this marvelous song.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow. And someday yonder we will never more wander. but walk the streets that are pure and spoiled. I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story and the song.
Eugene Clark seemed to be the personification of the title of his most famous song. Although his fingers once flew across the keyboard, he later became a victim of dreaded crippling arthritis. Eyes that could seemingly read whole music scores at a single glance became totally blind. But Eugene Clark, the former music director and organist for the Back to the Bible broadcast, never learned the meaning of the word quit. He was born in Maxwell, Nebraska in 1925. He began writing songs in high school. He later attended Moody Bible Institute and graduated in 1948. He was that school's Alumnus of the Year in 1973. He couldn't attend the ceremonies, though, because of his confinement to his bed. When it became impossible for him to continue playing the organ or the piano, and when he went to bed, he never got up again. He requested that they bring to his bed a dictating machine. And with this marvelous electronic invention, as his most valuable possession and a keen mind, he continued to give to the world his beautiful musical offerings. His trust in the Lord became monumental. Great odds have not stopped Eugene Clark's ability to serve Christ and to be a blessing to millions around the world. Hundreds of gospel songs and hymns and scores of choir arrangements, and 3 missionary cantatas have flowed from this dedicated mind into the Christian world. And when he could no longer write through this dictating machine, he would tell others who would take it down later just exactly the notes and the bars and the dots and whatever to write, and they would put down the musical scores for him. But his most famous song seems to be the embodiment of his very character.
I read in the Bible the promise of God that nothing for him is too hard. Impossible things he has promised to do if we faithfully trust in his word. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon everything, oh everything, yes everything is possible with God.
I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story and the song. A saintly little woman in Canton, Ohio, who was affectionately known as Mother McKinley, raised her children in ways that the Lord teaches us, and each one of them received Christ as Savior at a very early age. As soon as they could walk, they strolled along with her to Sunday school on Sunday morning. None of her children became famous except one, and he became the President of the United States. His name was William McKinley. No one could have been more devoted to his mother than William McKinley. His Christ-like spirit was evident in his work as a Sunday school teacher, a Sunday school superintendent, a lawyer, congressman, governor of Ohio, and finally, as President of the United States. One report says that every day of his life until his mother's death, President McKinley, after he became a lawyer, either wrote or telegraphed his mother when he was not able to see her. It's also reported that one day in 1897, he made his way from the White House to Canton, Ohio by train just to walk to church one more time with his mother. When she became ill in the winter of 1897, He had a special telegraph wire connecting his mother's home in Canton with the White House. It's also reported that he had a special train standing by with a full head of steam. One night, when she became desperately ill and it looked like the end was near, her attendants wired the president, and the message came very soon. "Tell mother, I'll be there." He rushed to her side, and she breathed her last breath on December 12, 1897, in the arms of her son, President William McKinley. He was then 54 years of age, and for more than an hour, he did not move from her bedside. A songwriter by the name of Charles Fillmore was so inspired by this beautiful story that he wrote a wonderful, moving song, and here it is.
When I was but a little child, how well I recollect how I would grieve my mother with my folly and neglect. And now that she has gone to heaven, I miss her tender care. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there. Heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there.
I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story and the song. Edward Mote rose from a heathenistic childhood to become a great writer and preacher. He said this of his childhood: "My Sundays were spent on the streets of London in play. So ignorant was I that I did not know there was a God." He became a carpenter's apprentice and through hard labor and conscientious effort came to own his own cabinet shop. One day while walking to his work, he began thinking that he should write a hymn. Before he reached his shop, he had the chorus. "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Before the day ended, he had four stanzas. The following Sunday, he visited in the home of a preacher friend whose wife was at the point of death, and during the afternoon, they read from the scriptures, and they had prayer with her. Then, as the preacher looked for a hymnal to sing from, as was his custom, he just couldn't find one. And Mr. Mote reached into his pocket and pulled out the verses and asked if they might sing those to her. And so they did, and she seemed to enjoy them very much. And so Edward Mote was so pleased that she found comfort in them that he had 1,000 copies printed for distribution among his friends. Sometime later, Edward Mote became a Baptist preacher. His efforts made it possible for a house of worship to be built for his congregation, and they were so grateful that they offered to deed the property to him. But he said, "I do not want the chapel. I want only the pulpit, and when I cease to preach Christ, then turn me out of that." He served his congregation for more than 20 years and never missed a single Sunday for any cause. In his 70th year, he lay dying on his sickbed, and he said, "I think I'm going to heaven. Yes, I am nearing the port. The truths I have preached, I am now living upon, and they will do to die upon." And so he passed away, but he left with us this marvelous song.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Lindsay Terry, and that's the story and the song.